And we're here with John Darling. He's one of the six candidates for the three open Sandpoint City Council seats that are up for election. John, thank you for coming in.
Hello.
A little bit of a bio here. You're 43. You were born and raised in Sandpoint and left for a few years, but have been living here 30 plus years, it sounds like.
Correct.
And you are a co-owner of Sandpoint Furniture, and you manage the Carpet One division.
That's correct.
And with that...
Well, we're going to ask you a series of questions, but our first question is this. Among the many issues facing the city at present, what do you consider the most important issues and why?
Well, living in the city of Sandpoint for only approximately about 18 months, I spent the last... almost 16 years living in the city of Ponderay, where I formerly served on the Ponderay City Council. So I was pretty in-depthly involved with a lot of the decision-making and the streets and the parts and pieces of infrastructure for the city of Ponderay. I would alleviate that they would probably follow suit with the city of Sandpoint. Streets are very important for connectivity and to get our people to and from homes and to the grocery stores and all those parts and pieces. I think water, affordable water is a pretty important position for the city of Sandpoint. And I know our sewer district is taking some concerns at this time with the standards that are being handed down from the federal government. So I believe that those are some pretty important parts and pieces for me right now.
Infrastructure. Okay, we're going to ask a few questions about some of the issues that are likely to come up in the next term for the city council. And one of those is the University of Idaho has announced that it intends to sell its 77-acre property along North Boyer. And the city's been conducting workshops and meetings to collect input for possible changes to the comprehensive plan that would govern development of that acreage there. Do you have a position on the use of this property or the process that the city has had underway to deal with the impending sale of that?
Well, I think the piece of property would be an invaluable option for the city of Sandpoint. I don't think you can ever not have enough. As in regards to what that piece of property should be used for, you know, I'm a large advocate. I spent a lot of years coaching youth sports and seen the failures of what our winter months do to those sporting teams and players. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of creating some sort of indoor practice facilities for our kids, someplace that they can get out of the weather and be able to take advantage of some extra practices. Even with the many gyms that we have in the city of Sandpoint, they're overloaded and it's very challenging to try to get some time in any of those dry spots. So, anything for community involvement. I know there's been talk about Boys and Girls Clubs and some different Kruk Center type applications. I think that I'd be a huge advocate to see something like that.
Well, this is a similar question. The new grandstands at the Memorial Field were completed this year, but with the dedicated 5-year 1-cent sales tax for their construction producing revenue for additional projects, the city is now considering a replacement of the turf with either upgraded grass turf, artificial turf, or a hybrid. What is your position on the turf question?
Well, first off, I'm absolutely elated with those stands. I was able to take part and watch a festival show from the stands. We made it a point to sit in the very top to be able to get it all in. And my wife and I, we had a fabulous time. So bravo Zulu to the contractors involved and all the people that put the parts and pieces together to get that happen. As far as turf, I know that there's a concern with the field and the uses that's on there. Growing up in Sandpoint, playing football on that stadium, I just remember the feeling of the cool grass underfoot, the mud on a rainy football afternoon. And my son was fortunately one of the last teams to play on Memorial Field in his seventh grade football team, and it was a pouring down, raining day, and they all slid in the mud, and it was one of the funnest days of their lives, at least up until 14. So I think I'd be a big advocate for natural grass. I just love the stadium, close to the lake. The feeling of the green grass really just kind of brings the whole stadium home. So,
were you part of the infamous Mud Bowl, that game?
Which game was that? I'm sure there was a few.
A bunch of mud bowls. I've heard of some tales of stories played when the turf has been really pretty muddy there.
Well, my last home game that I can remember, it was under Coach Barlow, and I think somebody mistakenly left the sprinklers on all night before the game.
That's the game I'm referring to, actually. Yeah,
I was a part of that game, and it was one of the best days of my life. So,
a little bit of history there for folks that haven't heard that story yet. Here's a follow-up question on parks again. If there are additional funds available from this 1 cent tax, because it that's a possibility, are there other parks projects you might want to pursue? And part of it might be that the city is exploring a new master plan for City Beach. And if do you have any position or ideas for any potential changes, additions, or development of City Beach?
Well, being familiar with how these taxes are received and intended to be used, I was a part of the bed tax for the city of Pend'Oreille that helped fund the spot bus program, and I'm very proud to be a part of that. So I know that these funds can be collected and be used incrementally for particular projects only. So with that being said, Sandpoint City Beach, that was probably one of the biggest social outlets for myself growing up, and I even see my children taking part in it. Before there were cell phones and pagers and Facebook, you either rode your bike to the beach, cruised the beach, took advantage of, you know, finding your friends and figuring out what was going on down at the beach. So I love to see the city, do some study and implement some better opportunities for the kids to take part in that, utilize that piece of property to its fullest, because it's one of a kind. I've been all over the country and throughout the world, and I can't think of one of the favorite places in my life as the Sandpoint City Beach. So
I think a lot of people would agree with you. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to move on to jobs and the economy. It looks like it's always an election issue, jobs and the economy. How would you describe the economy of Sandpoint today? What role do you see the city, council, mayor to play in creating a healthy local economy to foster growth and living wages in Sandpoint?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be a generation to feel the realism of a recession. And I think that that's a lifelong lesson for my generation. I'm sure we're probably going to see some form of recession before we're done on this earth. And I hope that we can plan accordingly for it. What we also got to see is growth from that recession. And we got to see business step up and increase. I remember going to a economics class in that particular time frame. I think it was 2012 when things were at its worst for us. And the class had a big sign and it said, "God, just grant me one more boom and I promise not to screw it up." And I didn't really understand what that meant until now. You know, we can appreciate, having a little bit in the savings coffer and not overextending ourselves and living within our means. With that being said, I see Sandpoint's economy thriving. Our local business has been blessed by our local economy and growing. Some of the things from my past experience on council was working as a city to create jobs and increased infrastructure. One of the biggest things that I remember was the fiber internet coming to Sandpoint. I was a part of the U.S. Metronet's process, which a lot of people may or may not understand, but it was a collective group of working with the city entities to be able to bring this fiber into the cities. And unfortunately, through some different situations, as it didn't really unfold how it was supposed to. I know that the city of Sandpoint and the city of Ponderay were left with some money hanging out there, and I'm not exactly sure how that came back or if it did. With that being said, I believe it was Carl Dye, he was in charge of the economics group for the city of Sandpoint, or maybe it was even Bonner County, and he was kind of heading up that U.S. Metronet's process. He really opened my eyes to the fact of what type of individual comes in to a smaller market like this when you have high levels and high speed of internet infrastructure. There's with the international airport 90 miles away, people can live here, and I think I use the term rural commute, to their careers, and they can live up on the top of Baldy Mountain or out in Hope, Idaho, and still, you know, be able to hold a good job with a company and be able to keep some of that money local here without even creating new businesses and new jobs, just bringing people to live here in our community. So,
well, you kind of took away our next question there. We were going to ask you what you thought about the fiber optic project, and I think you just answered that. You obviously see it as something that's important. So let's move on to another question related to the economy, and that's the matter of affordable workforce housing. Do you feel that affordable housing is an issue here in Sandpoint? And if so, do you see ways that the council or the city can address that?
I'm absolutely in favor of affordable housing. Be able to have every employee from every company, whether you're washing dishes to a restaurant, where I spent a lot of years washing dishes in Sandpoint, there's different restaurants, to being the manager of the restaurant. We understand that the salaries and the incomes change, so it's important that we have housing for each. We all see some of this federal housing being built out here, and you know what I can tell you is none of that money is being brought in here and being reinvested into our community specifically on those building projects. Those projects are being brought in from out of town. Very, very few, even subs, even get to work on any of those projects. So if there were more of that, I'd really like to see a way that they could bring in and stimulate our local economy with plumbers and drywallers and painters and different tradesmen to be able to a part of those types of projects. Otherwise, there's a lot of other people out there building homes and smaller development communities and apartments and duplexes and things that are partaking in these same things. And I'm a big advocate for those.
Another question. Sandpoint's downtown has undergone a major realignment of traffic patterns to remove the one-way streets and convert to virtually all streets to two ways. Also a downtown redesign to widen the sidewalks and add stormwater swales and other changes carries on next summer, starting with Cedar Street. What is your position on these changes to downtown? And also, just to address our parking situation, what do you think about that, and what can we do to help that?
Well, not that I have a lot of appointments downtown Sandpoint specifically, but I did today with you, and I wasn't late, but maybe a minute. And I can't remember the last time that that's happened. I'm thrilled with the changes. I don't recall it ever being two-way as long as I've been living in Sandpoint. So it was like a breath of fresh air. It was something that I always wondered if it would happen. I believe my father, he was on the local police department at the time when they actually made that change. And so it's been a long time in the works, and I don't know why we waited this long. The parking, to me, we actually come into town now to be able to utilize a lot of the restaurants and the shopping and such, where you didn't do that before because you had to park up in more of the residential areas just to be able to find a spot. So tickled pink. I didn't know about any of the additional infrastructure with the sidewalks widening, but that's all fabulous to me.
Here's another topic. Increasing train traffic, specifically trains that are transporting coal and volatile oil cargo, has become an issue locally and regionally with citizens who identify potential environmental and public safety threats. Do you feel this is an important city issue for city officials? And if so, do you have any actions that you think the city should take?
Well, I've spent a lot of years studying the railroads, know the differences between one to the other, between we've got a few different companies, Montana Rail Link, Union Pacific, and then sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
BNSF.
Burlington, yeah. BNSF. What I can say is I'm a firm believer of holding the railroads accountable for their impact in small incremental markets such as Sandpoint. From what I understand is the coal and the oil that's being mined and hauled across Lake Pendere, they're intending on building a second siding across the lake, from what I understand, what I remember before I left with the city of Pendere. I think that there's a lot of things that the railroad needs to be partaking in before they're allowed to build a new siding across our lake, to be honest with you. We're in a joint effort with the Pendere Bay Trail, where we've City of Sandpoint, City of Pendere has put up a good chunk of money to be able to create a waterfront access to the City of Pendere and the City of Sandpoint with that walking trail. That's majestical. If you've never taken advantage of it, please go down and see it. Listen to the people that are out there promoting it, because it's one of the most unique things that we have here in Sandpoint. What a lot of people don't understand is the City of Pendere is almost landlocked or railroad locked to accessing their portion of that. I think we have, I believe that there's three separate sets of tracks there, one by each railroad company, and it's going to take a lot of work to be able to create access either over those railroad tracks or under those railroad tracks to be able to get some connectivity to where you could start in the City of Sandpoint and ride through the City of Pendere and then back through some of those Sand Creek bike trails, which is how they were all developed and intended. I think that our county commissioners, they need to really partake in this, and there needs to be a lot of thought and discussion involved before we partake in or approve a situation like that. The other thing that I have with railroads is I'd like to see yardarm crossings on every single railroad crossing through Bonner County. We're losing kids and we're losing family members out there to these sightings, and it can absolutely be almost eliminated with yardarm crossings on every single crossing.
Thank you. We have three final questions for you, and one at a time. How much time will you devote to your position if you are elected as a city council for Sandpoint?
I devote as much time as needed. Again, it's a little bit different game than what I'm used to with the City of Pendere. I know what it took out there. I was a part of every advisory council from Pendere Bay Trail to Triangle Drive studies. I find all that very interesting, and I love that part of it, which is one of the reasons that I'm interested in running for city council for the City of Sandpoint. So just a little bit bigger playing field.
Well, here's some similar questions. How many city council meetings have you attended in the past 2 years? And I probably should say Sandpoint.
City of Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. Very few. I was part of a public hearing for a personal project for myself. I'm finishing up on some personal stuff right now that we're going to be all taken care of about November 1st. So I've got lots of time right after that. So,
and the final question, why are you running for public office as a city council, Sandpoint City Council member?
Well, I think that probably my platform would be to give the Sandpoint voters a good, honest, open-minded, unbiased option when voting for the city council. My experience with the city of Ponderay, I feel like I can bring to the table a lot of information from past workings and future workings that we could work collectively together with the other cities, City of Dover, City of Kootenay, and City of Ponderay. When I first started with the council, those cities didn't talk, and there was a very few key individuals that were really important on bringing those cities together, and I want to work off of that. I want to work collectively with the rest of the cities and keep that unity going. So,
John Darling, if folks want to learn more about your candidacy or get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Feel free to email me at jdarling@pondereydesigncenter.com. I do Facebook, but if I don't understand it entirely, so.
Well, we really want to thank you for coming in and informing the voters for the Sandpoint City Council election that's coming up November 7th. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now.